Let's open our psalm books to number 203. Above the bright blue, number 203. We'll sing all three verses, after which we'll ask Ken if he would to direct our minds in prayer. There's a beautiful place called heaven. It is hidden above a bright blue, where the good who from earth eyes are riven, live in love and eternity through.
Pray, Father, that you'll bless them in only the way that you can. Also, Father, for those of our loved ones that might be traveling, we pray that you'll keep them safe, that they might be able to come back and safely and worship once again with us. Father, we pray tonight as we lift up songs with the fruit of our lips to thee. We just pray, Father, that our heart is in the right place and that we are teaching one another in hymns, and that you, this aroma comes up to you sweetly, Father. And we just pray that you accept this service tonight that we offer to thee. Father, we pray that you be with Brother Gary as he brings us thy word, and we just pray that you bless him in his efforts to bring it to us. We pray that you'll bless him, that all the things that he has studied, he will be able to recall, that he can put it in a way that we understand and that we might be able to not only apply it to our lives, Father, but to share it with others. Father, we ask that you bless the church here at Fifth Street richly in all that we do. We pray that you continue to strengthen the elders and the deacons, Father, that the work they do could move forward. We just pray, Father, that as your children here, that we are doing your will the way you want it. We ask you to forgive us for our sins as we repent. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
At this time, let's mark our songbooks at number 284. What will your answer be? Number 284. 284 will be our invocation song after the lesson this evening.
Next, let's try to sing number 674. Number 674. I don't know if we sung it here or not. I don't recall, but it's another good song.
It is time to build in the church.
This great word is 15. I am his child, number 15. Must I live a life of sinning just to know God will forgive me? Must I then be brokenhearted just to know that He can hear me? Praise the Lord, I am forgiven, and my Father up in heaven knows and hears and will be with me. Praise the Lord, I am His child. Must I be in heaven with Him just to know the Lord is reigning? Must I see His acts of power just to know that He is with me? Praise the Lord, I am forgiven, and my Father up in heaven knows and hears and will be with me.
Number 671, He carried my sorrows. Number 671.
Carried my sorrows, He bore my griefs, was pierced for transgression, afflicted for peace. He knew by His stripes I am healed, through His blood I can kneel, for by His oppression I worship my King. Forsaken, abandoned and slain.
That none can bear below. Oh, 245, Where the Soul Never Dies. Number 245.
Myself.
Turn to number 362. I have been redeemed, number 362. After I lead this one, Randy's going to lead a song and then we'll have our scripture reading. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Sweet is a song I'm singing today.
Bible reading this evening is in Joshua, the 24th chapter, verses 14 and 15. And I'll be reading from the NIV. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15.
Good evening. While I am trying to figure out the microphone here, I will go ahead and apologize right up front for not having some printed materials for you to follow along with. I still have, as I'm counting it, at least another month on my new guy card to play. I'm not always familiar with the customs here, so I hope that you'll bear with me and it won't prevent us from spending a few minutes tonight in going old-fashioned a little bit, opening up our Bibles and studying the Word of God together. I'd like for us to consider a few things this evening. It doesn't take very long at all, and it doesn't take much of an in-depth student of our culture to quickly be able to determine that there isn't a lot of emphasis in our society placed on making choices, moral, religious choices, much less an accountability when we make those choices. There is a quote that you may or may not be familiar with. It says, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. So those of you that are smiling may be baseball traditionalists. You know that comes from Yogi Berra. And we smile at that somewhat. But tonight, for just a few minutes, I'd like for us to consider together that these figurative forks in the road are the decisions that we face every day. More specifically, the choices that we face as it relates to the decisions to obey God or not. Since the very beginning of time, man has made these choices of their own free will, purely by the way that God has designed for it to be. We can look in the Bible back as early as the book of Genesis. We can find very early on in Genesis chapter 2. And some of these passages we'll be reading, some we'll go through for the sake of time. simply referring to. But in Genesis chapter 2, we find Adam and Eve placed in the garden. By design, they were given a very simple life and a very simple command. The tree that is in the center of the garden, do not eat of it. They had a choice. Adam and Eve, in the next chapter, we read that they made this choice. We also see in that chapter the outcome of that choice was their separation from God, being cast out of the garden. We move a few chapters forward in Genesis and we find the story of Noah. We find Noah being presented with choices. The choice to follow God's direction, to build the ark at all, and to build it to the specifications that God provided for him. We also see in chapter 8 the response and the outcome of Noah's choice in that regard. He and all of his family were saved. We continue to flip forward in the book of Genesis. We find the story of Abraham we're all familiar with. Abraham was faced not with one choice, not with two choices, but a lifetime of choices, very significant choices. When he was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, not knowing where he was going, but just to follow on his faith, he had the choice to stay put or to follow, and he chose. You think that choice is not significant enough, and I can relate to that, having just moved out here from Texas, knowing where I was going, it was still difficult. You want to talk about another choice? Let's look a little forward in the story of Abraham and find God coming to him and asking him to offer up his son, the promised son. Abraham had a choice, and he made that choice. The outcome of that is we see Abraham referred to time and again as a great man of faith. And it's through Abraham that the promises, the covenant promises, were given to the children of Israel, specifically in one, to even us to this day as Christians, that through his seed, all nations would be blessed. We go forward a little bit more in the book of Genesis. Into the Old Testament, we go through other stories. We find the story of Joseph we're all familiar with. Joseph, specifically, the instance I wanted to focus on in Joseph's story was his experience with Potiphar's wife. Whenever she came to him, he had a choice. Joseph made that choice, and he turned and he ran and said, I cannot sin against my God. So we see that the outcome of that is that God blessed Joseph in so many things in his life because he made choices like that over and over again. We move forward and we find the story of Moses. Moses, again, was faced with multiple choices in his life. He was forced with the choice to go and lead the people. Although reluctant at times, Moses made those choices. He obeyed God. He set aside his own worldly desires and station, and he took up the mission that God asked him to pick up and take. And he did that. And we all know the stories of Moses throughout, that he was considered a great man of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 continually refers to him as a great man of faith. Look forward a little bit more into Joshua. Joshua not only led a lifetime, a daily lifetime of choices that he made to obey God, but towards the end of his life, the passage that we read just a few minutes ago, we find Joshua toward the end of his life addressing the people. And he not only lived this daily life of making these choices, he set that choice ahead and said, choose you this day, the rest of you, who you will serve. But not me and my family did, but me and my family, we will choose to obey the Lord. So he made the determination before he was faced with those choices that when they came to him, what he was going to make. They were pre-decided in his mind already. So we also look a little bit forward. We find in the book of 2 Samuel, another story that we're very familiar with, David. David himself led a great life of faith and belief in God. But it was also marred by some choices that weren't so good. We find David in the situation where he had a choice with Bathsheba. He had a choice to look the other way or not, but he didn't. David made a choice, and that choice cost him dearly. We read later on in that chapter in 2 Samuel chapter 11, for the outcome of that to chapter 12, verse 14, where he suffered the death of his son because of that choice that he made. There are many other choices like this that we could read about, full in the Old Testament. Job had choices. All of the kings, Saul had a choice. We can look at the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Ezra, all of them had choices that they made to accept the role that God was presenting them with or not. And they all made them, and they're recorded for us. And that's no accident, that we can learn from their choices. But if you tell me that those are the Old Testament, that's fine. Let's skip forward a little bit to the New Testament. We can look at instances such as Zacchaeus. He made the choice to seek out the Savior. We can look at the two thieves on the cross. One made a choice to mock, the other made a choice to respect our Lord on the cross. We can look at the story of Judas. Judas made a choice. He had a choice to make, and he made it. We see the consequences of that play out as well. We see Paul on the road to Damascus was forced with a choice. He made that choice, what to do. He could have ignored it, or he could have accepted it. And he accepted it and moved on in faith. We see the related story of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He was given the vision that he should go and ask for this man Saul and bring him to him, that he had great things to tell him. He had a choice. He could have ignored that vision and chalked it up to whatever. He could have ignored it and said, "I'm too afraid." But he didn't. He made the choice to follow through with that. There are many other similar instances like this, and the Bible is full of them. We won't try to review too many more just for the sake of time. But what we do find by looking at these is that no matter what age, no matter what dispensation you're in, God has made it perfectly clear, if nothing else, just through His creation itself. We find in Romans, the first chapter, if you will, let's turn over to that. Romans, the first chapter, we'll begin reading in verse 19. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." We find that just through God's creation itself, there is enough that all men are without excuse, without for not being able to accept Him and glorify Him for who He is. We have a choice to accept that or not. Let's turn, if you will, to John, the 12th chapter. The Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, and we'll begin reading when you get over there in verse 44. We find Jesus speaking to the multitudes in Jerusalem about this very same choice. John chapter 12, verse 44. "Then Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me, him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." We find that Jesus is presenting the same choice to the multitudes. They have the choice to accept and obey, or to reject and refuse to obey. That is the choice that they are faced with. And we hear what he says the consequences of that are. This is the exact same choice that Peter and the other 11 apostles in Acts chapter 2. We'll turn over there. It's a passage we're all familiar with. Acts chapter 2. Verse 38, as Peter and the other apostles stand up and addressing the multitudes, thousands and thousands of people on the day of Pentecost, we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter says to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We see that they had a choice. They had a choice to accept that, to step up, repent, and be baptized for their sins. And we see in verse 41 the result of that in that same chapter, that those that believed and heard the word were baptized and were added to the number that very day. This is not that much different. In fact, it's not any different. This is the very same choice that each one of us here today, within the hearing of my voice, are provided. This is the choice that we are to make. And we know that in John 12, as we read, that we will be judged by our response, and we should not take that lightly. But I would propose to you that simply making this choice is not enough. It's simply the first choice of many. Much like Abraham's first choice was to leave out on his journey, but there were many that followed. Moses' first choice was to follow God and go back to Egypt to lead the people out, but it was followed by many others. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Hebrews chapter 3, and verse 14 says that we are partakers of Christ. And this next word is only two letters, but it's very, very important. We are partakers of Christ if we hold steadfast until the end. There's more than one choice involved, brothers and sisters. More than one choice, but it's an important one. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 tells that it's only after doing the will of our Father that we have the hope of that rest, that peaceful rest that He has promised. You see, if we looked at Ephesians, the first chapter, it's one of my favorite passages in all the Bible, because it says so much. Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning in verse 3. We won't take the time to read it. But this really relates to us God's full plan. It shares with us that since the beginning of time, before the worlds were even created, He had a plan. That plan involved sending His Son, redeeming us, buying us back. That's what the word redeem means, bought back. Buying us back into that relationship with God through the blood of His Son. It was no accident. It was no last-minute thought when something else didn't work. It was His plan since the beginning of the world that His Son would come and redeem us back through Him to a relationship with God. That's why, and I guess I've known this all my life, but in the last few years it's really rang true with me. That's why Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called the Gospels. That's good news. Not through our own merit, through no merit nor no deserving of our own. God had planned before the world that there was a way to redeem us back to Him. That's good news. That is the good news that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 refers to. Verse 1, it said that's the good news. By that good news, that gospel, that Jesus is going to redeem us back, by that gospel is what we are saved. And here's that big word again, that two-letter word, if. If we hold fast. Or else we will have believed in vain. Believed in vain. So I would ask you tonight, as we close up our minutes together, have you decided already that you would follow God and what your decision is? Are you deciding in advance that when that situation comes, you know what your decision is going to be, like Joshua did for his family? What choice have you made or will you make? When you come to that proverbial fork in the road, will you pick it up? Will you avoid it? Will you go the wrong direction? Are you facing one of these forks in your life tonight? We all do on a daily basis. You may be facing the choice of obeying the Lord in baptism. You may be facing that choice of putting on Christ and becoming a partaker of Him. Galatians, the third chapter, tells us that if you do that, then you are an heir to that promise that was given to Abraham. You're a joint heir with Christ to those promises of eternal life. Maybe you're facing the choice of repenting of sin in your life, that you've not held fast, that you've slipped, you've let go, and you're in jeopardy of your belief having been in vain. Whatever fork in the road that you're facing tonight in your life, we encourage you to make the choice, take the path of obedience to God, and to restore your relationship with Him. It's there, it's available, and it was His plan for you, for me, for each one of us. You don't have to leave here tonight with a fearful expectation of that judgment. You don't. It's very easy. The plan is simple. You can leave here tonight with a hope of everlasting life as a child of God. If we can help you in any way, we encourage you to do that, to make that choice, to take that fork in the road together as we stand and sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see.